Well, it is a Monday morning and an opportunity for me to welcome in members of the staff of the City of Bartlesville, hosted usually and again this time by City Manager Ed Gordon. Good morning, sir. Nice to have you in this morning.
Good morning, Charlie. How's your weekend?
It was excellent. Had the opportunity to Friday night to honor several of Bartlesville's men in blue. Well,
crimes,
actually men and
crime
ladies in blue.
Tell me about it.
Well, we had gathered a good-sized crowd at the Hilton Garden Inn Friday night.
Hold on. Let's back up just a second.
Okay.
Crime Stoppers Law Enforcement
Appreciation Night.
And you selected several officers?
Bartlesville 4. Two of them were the team members for the canine teams. We honored, I want to make sure I get the right dog with the right officer, Troy Newell and his canine Apollo, and Officer Andrew Ward and his canine Diesel, receiving the Officer of the Year honors. Dispatcher of the Year went to Tammy Long, and Captain Jerry Kelly named as the Reserve Officer of the Year.
So, and in the Sheriff's Department?
Sheriff's Department, we had the opportunity to honor, John Copeland as Deputy of the Year. Reserve Deputy of the Year honors went to Captain Bill Hewitt and Corporal Mitch Doyle, named as the Detention Officer of the Year. Our neighbors just to the north for the Dewey Police Department, Captain Bob Burke, Officer of the Year there. And Nowata Police Department, Cheyenne Lee. South Confieville Officer of the Year, Roger Carroll. Nowata County Deputy, Jeff Grissom. And Ramona Police Officer of the Year, Travis Williams. I believe that rounds out our dozen officers that received honors Friday night.
I think I know about half of those, that group, maybe a little more than that.
Several of them started their career with the Bartlesville Police Department and moved on to other departments.
They certainly have and did. Each of those names well deserved, and congratulations to them. And Charlie, and now we go back in. It was held at the Hilton Garden Inn.
It was held at the Hilton Garden Inn. Uh-huh.
And this is the first of what's going to turn into an annual event?
Based on community feedback, the board members didn't take a vote, but consensus of opinion, yeah, we need to do this again.
I appreciate Crime Stoppers doing that. Of course, it is a partnership here in the community, with Crime Stoppers taking the lead, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You're the president of this particular chapter on this area.
I
don't know how large the area
is. We started out as the Bartlesville Crime Stoppers, Bartlesville and Washington County, and a year or two ago we expanded into Nowata County. There is a Crime Stoppers unit in Ponca City, and we will have to negotiate where we divide the line as far as who supports what part of Osage County, but we'll work that out in time, future point somewhere along the way.
Well, thank you for putting that all together, you and your board.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great event, as I understand. It was a wonderful event, and thank you for recognizing, well-deserved, to those officers.
Well, I have no doubt that the area chiefs could have quite literally closed their eyes and put their finger on names in the roster, and every one of them would have been deserving, but we'll honor more people next year. So
we'll do that, and congratulations again to them and to Crime Stoppers for the great job that you do here in this area.
Well, the local Crime Stoppers organization founded in 1982 with the help of the City Council and other agencies, and September 8th, Crime Stoppers will celebrate the 40th anniversary of the first Crime Stoppers case, which was the robbery of a Phillips 66 station in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And the detectives basically were without clues because at the time there was no video surveillance and a few other things. And so they went to a local media outlet and did a television reenactment of what they believed what happened, and promised anonymity if people would call in and say what they knew. And the rest
and it
of
worked.
It. Yeah. Not only that, they solved the two other cases in the process. So
excellent.
Yeah.
Well, we again. Thanks for all they do, Crime Stoppers, in coordinating that information and providing this outlet.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
All right. Charlie, I've
opportunity
got,
to work with
I've
with
got
your,
a couple of staff members here.
You do. So I'll let you make the introductions.
All right. I've got Shelly McGill. Is this a new microphone or something?
Well,
here?
I think we changed around the mic stand. I think it's different.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's really the deluxe model.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like instead of the golden EIB microphone,
it would almost be.
Shelly McGill.
Morning.
Our director. She wears several hats, as most directors in the city do.
She's today wearing her library hat and director of library services. And who's this that you brought with you this morning, Shelley?
Nadine Hawk. She is over our reference and local family history area.
No stranger.
Yes.
Nadine, glad you're here.
Glad to be here, too.
Here, we can kind of split that between the two of you here. And I want to talk about library services, but more in particular, the genealogy group is what I ask you to, because there may be some folks who don't know about it. And I hear lots of good things about the genealogy group and the work that they do to assist not just folks locally, but there are people that come from all over the country looking for information. And are stunned at the amount of information that we provide, particularly in the genealogy group. I think you were saying that what level of service what library did they compare us to?
They were comparing us to the Smithsonian, as well as the amount of material we had and the organization of the material and the beauty of the library. They just said we had a wonderful facility and they would definitely be back. And they were from California.
I think Scott Amler designed that new facility that we live in down there for the last 23 or 24 years.
Yeah.
That one of the first projects I was involved in when I started with the city was the library. And again, Scott Amler and his group did a great job on that. And so, Charlie, you think we can call ourselves Smithsonian West? Is it? Can we?
We can until the Smithsonian objects.
Well, we'll go ahead and do that until, okay. And hopefully they're not listening in this morning.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Just don't call them. Well, Shelley, let's talk a little bit about the genealogy department, and with you and Nadine, how do you want to start this?
Well, basically, I just want to tell the listeners about the services we have there, because it's one of the areas where we have a very well-developed system for genealogists, and you don't have to be a pro at the genealogy area. You can come in, and we have databases there, such as Ancestry. You've probably seen that all over the TV.
Yes.
You can come in and access Ancestry here at our library. There are newspaper archives from both Bartlesville and the Midwest, so you can look up your decedents and your family that have died who are throughout the Midwest. We have Indian records also, which a lot of libraries don't. And so you can find your Indian ancestors. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Nadine, and she's going to tell you about how to get started and what you might want to do to access and learn about our genealogy area.
Excellent. Morning, Nadine.
Good morning, Ed. I was going to say is that when it comes to getting started, it really helps to have it where you just write down what you know. There are ancestor charts or pedigree charts that you can easily find online and download and print out. And you want to start with yourself and you want to work backwards. So you want to start with yourself and then you go to your parents and get all the information about them, birth dates, and if they have died, then their death dates, marriage dates, all that vital records information. Work back to your grandparents and then just keep on going. And that will help you to fill in the when you do the research, you start filling in the blanks of the information that you don't know, or that sometimes there's contradictory information about, oh, your great-grandparents met here, but then you're finding out in the records that they actually were someplace else. So you get as much information as you can from home resources. You have it where you got maybe family Bibles, you may have scrapbooks, obituary clippings. Try to get all those together and sort of see first what you have, lay it all out, and then it's going to require you to have it where you may need to talk to any living relatives that may know some stuff. Write down what they tell you, and then very important is you're starting to accumulate all this information. You're going to have this research that you have to organize, and you keep track of your research trail of what did you already look into, what do you need to look into, your sources, where did you find this information, so that you don't have it where you start replicating or duplicating or, you know, your sources. You want to have it where you really get a very organized research trail down, know what you're doing. I did want to say is that a lot of times people think they can go to Ancestry and they have these family trees and they just look at that and, hey, there's my family. Well, what I would say when it comes to genealogical information, all of that needs to be verified.
Somebody has to construct all that information.
Right, and they may have some facts wrong. I've been surprised at how much information I see that's incorrect or doesn't line up, which you see in a census record. It may not line up with a funeral home record, line up with a tombstone. I mean, stuff may not line up. So you have to verify all genealogical information.
And Nadine, when I walk in the door and I want to start, I've never done this before. Tell me what you would have me do. You started with this, get all the clippings and stuff, but
right.
I come in to the library and I know nothing about genealogy.
Okay.
Which, by the way, Charlie, I don't. I just learned the word this morning.
Okay.
So what will you do with me?
We would give you an ancestry chart where you're starting with yourself and working backwards and have it where you start filling in information of what you know. And then we'd have it where you'd start looking to verify that information if you can.
Do you have the forms that, or some
yes.
sort of a form?
We have
that
forms
I would...
so we can get them off,
okay,
off
okay.
the internet.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. I also want to say is that there is no fast way. It's going to, some things may take you longer than others, and as you go further back in time, the census records, which are a key feature of doing research in the United States, really census records are like foundational. They're going to have less and less information as you go further back. So it will have it where, for example, if you're dealing with a female ancestor, those are especially get more and more difficult to track over time because they're not mentioned in later, in really old census records.
I was getting ready to spit in a cup to find out what my genetics are until somebody told me that I might be kin to Kevin Potter, Mike Bailey, and Terry Lauritsen. When those three were mentioned, Kevin just walked in, by the way. And I know what he's doing. He brought a bill. He's handing a bill to an envoy. Two envoy. What are you doing?
When was the last time Mr. Potter joined us in the booth?
This is the first.
So what's the motivation here?
Looks like he's here dunning. I think the city of Bartlesville has just been dunned. Is that correct?
Saving all those stamps and emails.
Saving whose stamps?
Me.
And you didn't want to have to type up an email, did you?
There it is. Done.
No text, no email.
Done. Just hand it to him.
No tweets.
Don't do that. They'll get you
presidential
in trouble.
Candidate Trump.
Tweets and Facebook, all that stuff gets you in trouble.
So are you telling us to stay off?
They get you in trouble.
Don't.
That's all they do.
Uh-oh. And how would you know that?
Ask Donald Trump. He's learning.
I expect I'll get a tweet from you later today.
No.
Where's your email server anyway?
Yeah, do you track who erases your emails?
I have no idea. I don't think they ever get erased.
Uh-oh.
Well, that's not true because I send some to you.
That's why we have a big base.
It's good to see you this morning, Kevin.
You too.
Glad you stopped
Glad
in.
Glad y'all are in here.
Glad you can bring a bill to us.
Big election tomorrow.
There is a big election tomorrow. It is.
Yes,
get out and vote. Absolutely.
Charlie loves people to vote.
He does.
That's right.
All right, Kevin, see ya. Excuse me, Nadine.
That's okay.
Right in the middle of this, go right ahead.
I was going to say is that we do have books that you can check out at the library that deal with how to get started in genealogy. And so you can use your library card and check them out or look at them within the library.
But we do have people that will work with them.
Correct. We have staff members that are skilled genealogists, and they can help with brick walls, and they can show you what resources to use and show you how to use our resources, like our databases. But I need to remind people that not everything is on the internet. There is some information, even though things are being digitized all the time, still there's some information that's only available at a local level, at the courthouse, at a cemetery, at a church.
So
it just depends.
It doesn't quite work as cases are solved in 1 hour or 30 minutes on the television.
Expect it to be a lifetime endeavor. Expect that. Another great source is the Bartlesville Genealogical Society, and they meet once a month, and they also have a monthly Ask a Genealogist Day where they'll show up there from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the local family history room, and you can bring in what you have, and they can help answer questions too.
I've met a Jerry Wells.
Yes.
Who works in the genealogy group, and he really enjoys that, and he's a real helpful resource. What else goes on there, Nadine?
Oh, well, one thing that I don't know if people are aware of, that if you go to our library catalog, that you can actually access something called the Newspaper and Obituary Index. And one thing that our staff does is that it indexes the Bartlesville Examiner Enterprise and has been doing so since, I think, 1999 or 2000. And so it's not indexing the entire newspaper, but it'll have marriages, anniversaries, basic genealogical information, information that pertains to the city of Bartlesville, city organizations, and we have it where it's indexed and you can access that easily off of the library catalog. And people do access that from other states, and they ask us questions to help look for stuff.
Nadine, if I had questions, who would I call?
You would call the Local and Family History Department at 918-338-4167.
4167.
Mm-hmm.
Nadine, I appreciate the job you do. By the way, you have another job. What other job do you do at the library?
I'm also in charge of reference. The reference desk.
Talk about that.
Okay, the reference desk has it where it oversees the public computers. So a lot of questions we get have to do with using the computers as well as pretty much any electronic device they bring in. We have Overdrive, which is where you can download ebooks and audio ebooks, and we help people with their devices and to be able to use their devices for the Overdrive. We help any question people have, they can ask us at the reference desk. And believe me, I've heard a lot of different types of questions as people seeking information of all sorts of things.
And in fact, people can call there and you can do research for them.
Right, we can help you. Mm-hmm.
And you do that.
Mm-hmm. We help them find information. Also, we have databases like EBSCOhost and so forth, and Chilton Auto Repair and so forth that we can help show you that has great information in it.
Well, appreciate the job that you do there.
Thank you.
Nadine, very much so. Shelley, talk a little bit about the services at the library and what's going on there. Anything exciting?
Well, we have... We're remodeling the library right now and getting it painted and up to date, and so that has been a nice project that it's starting to look great. We put in LED lights there in the library, and it brightened it up a little bit, saving a little money for our citizens. We have our numbers in circulation have been up, and so have our patron count, which is a good thing. We're really helping more people every day. And whether you need to come in and start your digital library card where you can lay in bed and download books, or if you want to come to the library and find books and have us help you research something, we'll be glad to do that. So we have so many things that the average citizen probably doesn't even know we can do.
I heard Nadine mention digital books.
Mm-hmm.
What are those?
Well, we have an app, and it's called Overdrive. And with that app, you just put in your library card, and you have access to thousands of books available, either audiobooks or just books you read that appear on your smart device, whether it be your iPad or your smartphone. It's just wonderful.
And how much will that cost me?
It's free.
Ah, it doesn't cost a nickel.
No, it doesn't. And in fact, they return automatically, so you don't have any overdue fees or anything.
So when you say automatically, it just disappears. Is that what you're saying?
It says this has gone off your device. Would you like me to delete the the cover? So.
What an asset, though, that yes. I can use an electronic device and download a book and read it.
They actually have magazines as well, a limited amount of videos. It's just opened up a whole new portal for people who want to access the library but don't necessarily have time to come in.
Shelley, if I have questions about that, who can I call?
Well, you can call anybody at the library.
Who's anybody?
Well...
What's the number for anybody?
Okay. 918-338-4187 is a number for administration, and we'd be glad to help you with that.
4187.
Yes.
338-4187.
Yes.
Okay.
And we have so many assets. We have legal forms, too, which is something people don't know. You can come and get a legal form for about anything you need to do for free. And a lot of people go to Staples and pay for those. Nadine, you want to speak on that?
Well, as mentioned, it's a Gale Legal Forms database, and mm-hmm. it has it where it's forms for that are federal as well as for the state. And they have it where they're very customized to different situations. And some of the forms you can print out and, you know, type in, but some of the forms are more like court samples, I believe, because they expect you to customize it to some degree. You can access that at home, as well as most of our databases you can access at home.
Wow.
Good stuff.
Well, I gotta tell you, it is, Charlie. I don't know how you keep track of all that information.
Well, they probably don't use the Dewey Decimal System anymore.
I expect not.
Oh, yes, we do.
That's for the books.
We do.
but not for the government forms.
No, that's a database.
Or the magazines.
Yes.
That'd be the database. Well, all right, I'm going to, y'all have, thank you for being so gracious as to be here this morning.
Thank you.
Nadine,
thank you.
And Shelley. God bless the library and the work that you do there for our citizens. What a great service.
Great.
And I'm going to have y'all swap out, and I'm going to have Mr. Lauritsen join us this morning. And we're going to talk about water. Thank you, ladies. They could see this.
They can see the ladies leaving the room.
They're saying goodbye.
Mr. Lauritsen moving up to the microphone here, and
look how excited he is.
He is. He's just chomping at the bit to talk about water.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning. Good morning.
You know, Charlie, there's been a lot of things going on in water around our area.
Or Louisiana.
too much there. We've had that problem from time to time here in Bartlesville.
We have.
But I want to talk about water quality, Charlie, with Terry this morning and on the city's radio program. And because in our area, and not just our area, there have been some water problems. And Terry, I think we probably ought to start. I'm going to start out with water contamination. Most recently, we've heard about E. coli in a water system locally, not in Bartlesville, but in this area. And of course, the presence of fecal coliform and E. coli, of course, one is an indicator for the other. Talk a little bit about that, would you?
Sure. We and really all water systems have to do monthly and weekly tests on their water to look for coliform, which is the indicator in an organism for potentially harmful bacteria. And so when that is detected, and E. coli is detected, or fecal coliform is detected, then they have to take steps to protect the safety of the public consuming that product. So a lot of times that results in either a boil order or some other step to protect the health and safety of those who consume it.
And let's be clear, we are not under any kind of...
No.
Nor have we been.
No.
But I just wanted to introduce this subject for clarification. Terry, the presence of that kind of entity in the water, a contaminant, what does that indicate? I mean, I realize you say boil order, the fur goes up on the back of your neck.
Yeah,
The idiot light goes on in the dash of life.
Yeah.
But what, talk a little bit about that.
Well, it can be a host of issues that causes it. One, it can be a breakdown in the treatment process, where one of the processes, typically the filter or the disinfection system, is not operating correctly. Or it can be a cross-contamination within the distribution system, where the piping has a problem with it, or there's some other source that's introducing this bacteria into the system. So a lot of times it's really from the treatment process. There's a breakdown in the treatment process that causes this type of alert and those types of actions.
And Terry, along we have filtration, but then we back that up with disinfection.
That's right. We do a disinfection with water. You're in essence stripping everything out of the water, and then you add a disinfection into it to kind of nuke it, to ensure that there is any kind of a residual disinfectant into the distribution system, so that anything that it comes in contact with is safe and is protected that way.
And before we move on about testing, Terry, we use chlorine, but also in addition to chlorine, we add ammonia.
Correct.
And which produces what?
Chloramine.
Produces what?
It's a chloramine.
Okay, thank you. Mike was calling it something else earlier. So this
mine was equally correct.
Yeah, there's I can't spin that a nice way, Ed. So it's chloramine. That's it.
I'm trying to collect myself here. Give me a moment. I did drive us off the tracks. The chloramines are the byproduct of combination of chlorine and ammonia, and it's very stable and very long lasting.
It is. And we changed to chloramines a number of years ago, really because of that stability of it. And the size of our system is very broad. We serve 9 different either water districts, municipalities, and surrounding areas. And so we need a disinfectant that is stable and that's long-lasting, and so chloramines really fits that bill for it.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Folks may not know, but we provide water over into Osage County and over into Nowata County.
Yep.
And all the way up to the Kansas line, and as far south as the Washington County line.
That's correct.
And so I think it was by design somewhat from insistence on, because of federal regulations on contaminant levels have become increasingly onerous, the rules on water treatment. What used to be in the water is no longer acceptable as testing becomes more of a science, and the ability to check for contaminant levels and parts per billion. Terry, this has become really a tough industry.
Well, it has, and the regulations continue to narrow as far as what you're allowed to discharge or allowed to produce as far as the quality goes, and we just have to adjust with it and kind of be agile in that perspective.
And Terry, how many contaminants do we check for?
Well, we check for about 15 on an annual basis, and some of those are anywhere from a 3 to 6 year cycle. The things that we check for daily are chlorine or the disinfectant. We check for basically the clarity of the water, the suspended solids, which is an indicator of your treatment process. And so we check those constituents on an hourly basis. So we're constantly monitoring those constituents to make sure that the water is being treated to a level standard that we expect.
So turbidity is measured in NTUs, and total suspended solids, refer to that as TSS.
Right.
And those are checked for on a daily basis. When we check for contaminants in the water, such as bacteriological problems, how often do we check the water?
We check that weekly. And we monitor 40 sites within the system a month, and we change those 40 sites. We rotate. In essence, we have almost 80 sites that we check, and we do it on a monthly basis. But we do 40 one month, and then the next 40 the second month. So it's a fairly robust analysis and monitoring system that we check for all the points in the distribution system, and particularly the ones the furthest away from the plant, which is typically, if you start seeing problems, those are the ones that that indicate the issue.
And again, one of the advantages, this is an advantage of using chloramines as opposed to straight chlorine, is that chlorine does have a tendency to break down much quicker in the water. Is that correct?
That's correct. It dissipates much quicker, and so on your larger systems, they would have to have supplemental injection points to reestablish the chlorine so that it could remain or keep that residual on the further extents of your system. So the chloramine really doesn't require that, so that helps from a treatment perspective, that you don't have to monitor points within the system that chlorine is not the most user-friendly chemical to deal with. It's fairly hazardous, and so the least amount of places that you have external to your system, then the safer that is to administer and to use.
And of course, we still use chlorine. It's at the plant, mm-hmm. and we just combine it with another chemical to form chloramines.
Chloramines, yes.
With the introduction of chlorine, that is the compound that disinfects. It's an oxidizer.
Yeah, the chlorine is really the muscle of it. That's the nuke in the missile, and then the ammonia that's added to it changes that chlorine to a weaker disinfectant, but a more stable and longer lasting disinfectant.
I'm being waved off over here. Terry, in terms of water quality. We have to do a water quality report on an annual basis, is that correct?
That is correct.
And why do we do that? What's it for?
Well, that's really a federal statute that we really inform the customers of the quality of the water that we're producing. So it's really a check for us, and to let consumers know what's in the water and the various constituents that are present in the water. So it's really just kind of an accountability sheet that Bartlesville residents and really all the water districts that we serve can look and to see what type of minerals and compounds are present in the water.
And of course, the quality of our water, Terry, folks may not know, we've got about 2 minutes remaining in the program. It starts even with the lake, the source of our water. We treat that.
It is. So it's we have several measures in place up at Lake Hudson, which is where we draw the water from. So we have a mixing system to really keep oxygen within the water itself that helps to encourage that natural treatment process. We also add an algaecide at times to help with taste and odor, because the decaying of algae is really what leads to the constituents that create taste and odor issues. And we also are treating the lake with alum, which helps to really take the nutrients that the algae feeds off of. So we're really trying to attack it from all perspectives to minimize the food that the algae can use to grow and populate. And then to oxygenate the water really helps with manganese and iron that are just naturally present because of the soils in our area.
Yeah, and of course what you're referring to is we added some water circulation devices up at the lake.
That's correct. So if you're out at Hudson Lake and you see these, looks like giant bobbers sitting out in the middle of the lake, kind of spinning around, that's what those are doing. They're actually pulling water from the lower portions of the lake and just letting it oxygenate, disperse, and mix with the air, and then kind of just keep everything fresh and keeping it moving.
Terry, if someone has a question about water or water quality, who can they call?
Well, they can certainly start with my office. It's 918-338-4116, or I'm sure that your door is always open as
always
well.
Always open.
918-338-4282.
Thank you, Terry. I appreciate that. I don't know what turn the left one turns on the hot and the right one turns on the cold is what I would tell them.
That's correct. The hot water tank has hot water. Warm is warm and cold is cold. Okay?
I thought we had three tanks out on the hill out here that had hot, warm, and cold.
Warm and cold, that's right.
Yeah, I think that started with some teenagers who meant well, and then it just stuck.
It stuck, and it's there forever.
It has been there forever, and it's been a kind of a landmark in the city of Bartlesville. Well, Terry, I think we're probably just right over time now, Charlie.
Yes, sir.
I think we better quit.
All right, thank you very much.
God bless
Dignity,
the city.
Compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall.